You know, I was thinking about this the other day. You ever wonder why certain filmmakers completely rewire your brain, even if like their movies seem entirely different on the surface?
Oh, absolutely. It's like they have this secret language that you feel even if you can't see it right away.
Right. Because I mean, picture this. It's 1994 and a hitman gets shot to death in a bathroom only to walk out of a diner completely alive and well 20 minutes later.
Yep. Classic.
And then, you know, 6 years later, a guy with no short-term memory tries to solve his wife's murder, only to realize he's the one setting himself up by leaving himself fake clues.
Right.
Today, we are taking a deep dive into an incredible piece of structuralist analysis, comparing two absolute titans of modern cinema, right? Christopher Nolan and Quentin Tarantino.
For two guys who honestly essentially broke Hollywood by breaking time.
Exactly. And on the surface, they feel like they exist in completely different universes. Like, one gives us these sleek, math-obsessed sci-fi epics, and the other is giving us these bloody, expletive-filled love letters to pop culture.
Yeah, they couldn't seem more different aesthetically.
But our source text today makes this really compelling argument. They actually share the exact same foundational DNA. Like, they both broke through in the late 90s by scrambling chronology, and they made their names on this one idea that how a story is told is vastly more important than the story itself.
Which is precisely why this matters so much for anyone who watches movies today. Like, spotting the hidden patterns in how these distinct directors approach their craft, it helps us understand not just them, but how modern storytelling actually works.
Upgrading the mental software for the audience, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Because when you understand the underlying mechanics, you know, how a master filmmaker manipulates time and structure, you start to see the scaffolding behind every piece of media you consume.
You stop just reacting and start seeing the levers being pulled.
Right. It fundamentally changes how you process narrative. You're no longer just along for the ride.
I am entirely on board for that. But to really understand their differences, we have to start at the very technique that made them both famous, right? Breaking time.
We do, because both of them completely shattered the idea of a linear storyline, you know, starting at A and ending at C.
Okay, let's unpack this because the way they use that shattered time is entirely different. Let's look at Tarantino first. The source text argues he uses fractured time for pure pleasure.
Oh, 100%. It's a game for him.
Right. Like, think about Pulp Fiction. It's essentially a magic trick. We get the sheer joy of watching John Travolta's character violently die, and then because the movie loops back on itself, we get to see him alive again at the end.
Walking out of that diner in his dorky shorts.
Yes. It's a celebration. It's proving that in the movies, death doesn't have to be permanent. It's just a really fun loop.
What's fascinating here is how stark a contrast that is to Nolan's approach. Because for Nolan, scrambling time is never a magic trick.
No, not at all.
It's a moral problem. Like, if time is a playground for Tarantino, it is an absolute prison for Nolan. Look at Memento.
Yeah, the black and white scenes moving forward, the color scenes moving backward.
Right. And Leonard, the main character, he cannot escape that fractured structure because that structure is literally what is wrong with his brain.
Wow. Yeah.
Tarantino chops up time because it's fun, right?
Right.
Because he's having a good time. Nolan does it because he believes, or maybe fears, that this fragmented, burdensome way is how human consciousness actually processes reality.
Okay, but wait, I have to jump in there. Is it always a prison for Nolan, though?
What do you mean?
Well, what about something like Inception? Like, you have characters literally designing their own physical realities and, you know, folding Paris in half. That feels a lot more like a playground to me.
I mean, it definitely looks like a playground visually, but think about the actual mechanics of what they're doing. Cobb isn't playing. He's trapped by the rules he created to survive his own mind.
With the spinning top.
Exactly. He has to carry a top just to know if he's awake. If he messes up the timing of the dream levels, his brain literally turns to soup.
Oh, that's true. The stakes are horrifying.
Right. So the characters in Nolan's films, whether it's The Prestige, Inception, Interstellar, Tenet, Dunkirk, they are always attempting to engineer a way out of unengineerable situations.
So they both arrive at jumping around in time, but from entirely opposite philosophical directions. Tarantino uses it as a joyful release, and Nolan uses it as a structural trap.
Exactly, which dictates how they actually go about building their movies.
Right, and the source text has this really memorable metaphor for this.
Yeah.
The architect versus the DJ. Let's look at Nolan as the architect.
A very fitting title.
Totally.
Hey.
He builds this massive, intricate structure first. The rotating hallways, the inverted time streams, and then he just pours his story into it.
Right. He builds the building before he furnishes it, while Tarantino is framed as the DJ.
Okay, break that down for me.
So he's like a jazz musician with a massive stack of records. The argument is that a movie like Pulp Fiction is essentially a jam session. He sits down, feels out the vibe, and plays his favorite hits in a new order.
Mixing spaghetti westerns and French New Wave on the turntable.
Exactly. It's a vibe-based curation.
See, I have a really hard time calling Tarantino a jazz improviser, though. Like, if you look at the text of his scripts, they aren't improvised at all.
Oh, for sure. He's notoriously precise.
Right. He writes longhand and notebooks. Look at the opening scene of Inglourious Basterds, the glass of milk, the interrogation at the farmhouse. That is incredibly precise, tension-building clockwork.
It's masterful.
Yeah, he isn't just rolling cameras and figuring it out on the fly like a jam session.
That is a crucial distinction.
Yeah.
And the source actually acknowledges that exact tension. His scripts are meticulously crafted, yes, but his energy is improvisational.
Okay, the energy.
Yeah, that's the nuance. Tarantino's films feel like a spontaneous performance, even when they're scored to the millisecond. Like, you feel like the characters could talk about a fast food burger for 10 seconds or 10 minutes.
And it would still be mesmerizing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas Nolan's films feel like math. Even when they make you cry, you feel the gears turning.
You really do. You never forget you are watching a massive machine in motion.
And to really understand the emotional difference between the architect and the DJ, look at how they use music.
Oh, this is a great point in the text.
Nolan builds puzzle boxes, right? And puzzle boxes inherently risk distancing the viewer emotionally because you're so busy trying to figure out the plot.
Like, wait, whose dream are we in right now?
Right. So Nolan doesn't trust emotion to just land organically. He needs Hans Zimmer to bridge that gap. He needs Zimmer to compose the feeling, to build a massive ticking clock score, so you know exactly when to feel the tension.
He composes the emotion from scratch.
Exactly.
And Tarantino curates it.
Yes. Tarantino rarely uses a traditional sweeping score. He digs into his massive record collection. He pulls a Chuck Berry track or, you know, that Urge Overkill cover in Pulp Fiction.
Girl, you'll be a woman soon.
Exactly. The nostalgia, the specific emotional weight, it's already baked into the record. He just drops the needle at the perfect moment.
I love this concept. Composition versus curation. Building an emotional machine from scratch versus finding the exact right needle drop. But what are these engines actually driving toward?
Right. What are the obsessions feeding the machine?
The sources highlight a really fascinating split here. For Nolan, he is entirely fighting for or against knowledge.
Yes. The burden of knowledge. Like in The Prestige, two magicians systematically destroying their lives to learn how a trick is done.
Because the knowledge is radioactive.
Right. Or Inception, the terrifying power of implanting knowledge. Mm-hmm. And Oppenheimer is the ultimate version of this. It's a movie about a man who learns a terrifying truth about the universe, and he can never, ever unlearn it.
So Nolan is obsessed with knowledge, and on the flip side, the initial argument is that Tarantino is obsessed with pure vengeance.
Right, settling scores.
You look at The Bride and Kill Bill, or Django shooting his way through a plantation. So it's basically knowledge for Nolan, vengeance for Tarantino.
Well, that's the surface read, certainly.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because I push back on this when reading the text. What about Jackie Brown?
Yeah, that throws a wrench in it.
Right. She just wants to get free. She wants to escape a rigged system with the cash. She isn't driven by a thirst for blood, which isn't exactly vengeance.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the theory actually shifts in a really profound way. It's not just about revenge. It's about justice.
Okay, justice.
It's about the cosmic ledger getting balanced. But here is the most important part. It happens inside the medium. Tarantino doesn't believe reality is fair. He believes cinema is the sanctuary where the ledger can finally be balanced.
Oh, wow. So he's using the movies to fix what reality couldn't.
Exactly. Think about Inglourious Basterds. Shosanna burning down her theater with the Nazi high command trapped inside. Tarantino doesn't think Hitler actually died in a movie theater.
Right. He knows history.
But he believes cinema is the place where history can be rewritten to give us the justice we never got.
So Tarantino uses cinema to rewrite the past. But Nolan, on the other hand, believes the ledger cannot be balanced.
Not at all. Oppenheimer is basically a 2.5-hour scream into an unbalanceable ledger.
Yeah, you can't undrop the bomb.
Exactly. For Nolan, cinema isn't used to fix the past. It's used to hold things the human mind can't fully experience on its own.
Because the emotions are too big.
Right. Dunkirk's fear, Interstellar's love, Oppenheimer's species-sized guilt. He uses the medium to expand the present, to handle that scale.
That is wild. They use the medium for totally opposite psychological reasons, but ironically, they're fighting the exact same war for the medium itself.
Oh, absolutely. They both treat cinema as a sacred religion. Mm. They just, you know, preach to different congregations.
Right. Tarantino is defending genres the Academy always condescends to. The grindhouse films, the spaghetti westerns, he insists that trash cinema is high art if you treat it with respect.
And Nolan is fighting for the dignity of the massive blockbuster, the sci-fi epic. He's demanding we treat popcorn spectacles with the highest intellectual seriousness.
And they both have absolute, unwavering conviction in the theatrical experience itself. Like, they are the last high priests of the physical movie theater.
Truly. Nolan absolutely refuses to shoot digital. He shoots on massive film stock. He won't release straight to streaming.
And Tarantino literally bought the New Beverly Cinema in LA just so he could program physical film prints himself.
Because for them, the theater isn't a delivery mechanism. The theater is the art.
So what does this all mean? We have the architect and the DJ, the guy burdened by knowledge and the guy chasing cinematic justice. It all leads to the ultimate question. Who is the better filmmaker?
Well, this raises an important question, but better isn't really the right metric. It's entirely subjective.
Fair enough.
The uncomfortable question the source forces us to confront is, who will be more important in 50 years?
Oh man, that is heavy. How do you even measure that?
You look at what survives them. And the argument is that Tarantino wins on pure influence. He changed how an entire generation writes dialogue.
Oh, absolutely.
You suddenly had characters talking in circles about pop culture while holding guns. The Coens, Rian Johnson, almost any prestige TV show, they all share his DNA. Because his style scales.
Right. It doesn't cost $100 million to write a tense conversation over a plate of strudel. It just takes a pen. You can replicate it.
Exactly. But Nolan. Nolan wins on individual film weight.
Because his style does not scale at all.
Not even a little. It requires too many resources, too much money, and a highly specific spatial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
People try to imitate him and they fail. You can't just casually build a rotating hallway for zero gravity.
Definitely not on an indie budget.
Right. So there is no Nolan film with the pervasive cultural fingerprint of Pulp Fiction. But there is no Tarantino film that hits with the overwhelming, world-altering weight of Oppenheimer.
One will be studied for what he changed and the other for what he actually made.
Precisely.
Understanding this, the architect and the DJ, it completely changes how you will watch your next movie. It proves there isn't one correct way to achieve greatness. You can build a clock from scratch or drop a needle on a record, and both can change the world.
And I think that leaves us with a final thought to really get you on. We've talked about how these directors use film, but what does that say about you as the audience?
Ooh, I like this.
When you buy a ticket, are you seeking out the DJ to help you escape the unfairness of the past? Or are you looking for the architect to help you survive the overwhelming nature of the present?
Wow. Are you looking for the magic trick or the structural blueprint? I love that. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the hidden mechanics of Manu cinema. Keep asking questions. Keep looking for the hidden structures in the art you love, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.